Open your Bibles to Luke 23. Luke 23, we probably won't finish this tonight. So I'll try to be kind to you with that. Okay. Basically, this is things learned in Jesus' darkest hour. Things learned in Jesus' darkest hour. Luke 23. Let me see here. Let's start at verse 13. I'm going to read a long passage tonight. We won't the other services. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent to you, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him, and I will therefore chastise him and let him go." Isn't it interesting? He's done nothing, so I will beat him to make you happy, but I'm going to let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him for that for this sedition and for murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold on one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him in a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And I want you to say, this is Jesus' darkest hour. The decision had been made. His hardest decision was made in the garden just previous to this. But this is the darkest hour, because in 6 hours' time, he suffered an eternity of hell in torture in for you and me. It's the only time in all eternity where there's a separation between the Father and the Son. So it's His darkest hour. It's the hardest time in His life. And we can learn, because the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in what? The likeness of the flesh. And He surrendered to the will of the Father. So I want you to see, lessons learned in Jesus' darkest hour. The thing with this, I want you to know, is what He did. You know, it's hard for us. Do you know the Apostle Paul struggled some with this too? That's when we have our accusers and our abusers. Is to pray for the ones who caused our darkest hour. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He prayed for the ones who caused it. Turn to Isaiah 53. We're coming back to Luke. Isaiah 53. A prophecy 600 and some odd years before, 700 years before the birth of Christ. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now jump down to verse 10 in the same chapter. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he what? Bare the sin of many, and did what? Made intercession for the transgressors. He interceded for those who transgressed against him. We're told boldly to come under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need for us. If you're honest with yourself, between your mouth, your mind, your hands and feet, you sin every day. I'm being honest. Okay? The Apostle Paul said, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. Okay, because when you get pressed with something, and it's not my human nature to pray for forgiveness and their salvation and to bring them before the throne. So many times, you know what we do when we're in our darkest hour? It seems like when someone's attacking us, something's taking place. We can get to that place. You know, the Apostle Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith had done what? Much evil. Let him be anathema, cursed of God. Maranatha, praise the Lord. So Paul was of like mind. Jesus said, love them that hate you, be kind to them that despitefully treat you, and so you will do what? Heap burning coals of fire on your head. In other words, leave it up to the Lord. Don't respond or react to them. Respond biblically. And so in Jesus' darkest hour, he showed that we are to pray for those who are persecuting us. You know something? It's much harder to hate someone when you pray for someone. I didn't say pray about them. I said pray for them. He prayed for the ones who caused his darkest hour. He went to the cross because my sin caused his darkest hour. Not just those Jews that were there, not just that Roman government. He died for the sins of the whole world. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He bore us before the Father as he bore our sin on the cross. People, that's high ground. That's high ground. You will not get there in your flesh. If you humble yourself before him, you may, but you don't get there with your fleshly thoughts. So he prayed for the ones that caused his darkest hour. Secondly, he trusted in the one who planned it. Turn to Matthew 26. We're coming back to Luke in a minute, but Matthew 26. Matthew 26. This is Jesus' prayer. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26 and at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I think of David as the psalmist. He says, No man cared for my soul. He even says in Psalm 27 and verse 10, When thy father and thy mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Have you ever tried to pray for 1 hour? You won't learn to pray for an hour if you've never prayed for a half hour. You won't learn to pray for a half hour if you've never learned to pray for 15 minutes. You won't learn to pray for 15 minutes if you don't learn to pray for 5 minutes. You see where I'm going with this? And it's something, the more you pray and you keep watch of what those prayers are and how they're answered, you'll gain greater faith and trust into the one that you're praying towards. He saith unto them, let me see here. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He trusted in the one who planned it. As the second member of the Godhead, before Adam and Eve fell, this plan was prepared. And it's one thing to plan it. It's another thing to have the outworking of it. Do you realize that Jesus in the Old Testament was the pre-incarnate Christ. He hadn't been born of a virgin yet. He hadn't walked as a man along the Sea of Galilee. He hadn't brought sight to the blind, raised the dead, and healed the sick as a man. Yes, he was God, but he was also man. And in that, in his humanity, he had to trust in his heavenly Father. So many things that come into people's lives, and when I pray, Judy prays with me, there's times we've had many tears. You know, every family has things. I don't believe our family's more persecuted than any other family. There's stuff that's happened in my family. People have suffered. I've watched stuff with my children. You watch different things that take place. But you know what? It rains on the just and the unjust, doesn't it? But my family has learned to say, God is always and always. I may not always, but it doesn't change who he is. And if he's allowed it, and sometimes you get that confused, you think God ordained it. No, he allows it through the choices of the free will given to the people that you interact with. You see, in the time I've been a pastor through the years, I've had to counsel with families whose children have been horribly hurt by another person. I won't go into the details. There's kids in here. And they have to try to help that child come through that. But in sometimes, it's been that the parents didn't pay close enough attention to who they were allowing their what? Children to associate with, because they were friends with them, not bothering to pay attention to what was going on with that. And then their child was hurt. Is that God's fault? Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. He doesn't ordain that. But you know, what I'm trying to say to you here is that my free will choices many times does what? Affects what happens to those around me. Jesus trusted in the Father. He was laid in the grave. He was raised by the power of God. He suffered that punishment. They said a separation. Okay? What did Jesus teach us? You know, it's commonly called the Our Father, if you're from a Catholic background, the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you start your prayers off with giving glory and honor to him? What does it say next? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you're praying that, you're praying for his will. Are you willing to trust in the one who given you life? It's so frustrating for us when we look at it. You know, you pray for God to get the attention of our loved ones. They're not saved. We want them saved. Or God, they've pulled back away from God. They've backslidden. Lord, get their attention. Lord, whatever it takes. Until it takes more than what you thought. Because whom the Lord loveth, he and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And man, we get beat up with that, don't we? Because we don't see the end from the beginning. He sees it all. So as Christ trusted his eternity in his humanity with the Father, you know what we need to do? We need to learn from that. Because if you don't, you will become bitter. Conversations with people are people. If everybody who got saved in Emmanuel and still lives in this area was in Emmanuel, this building's too small. Just ask John, Denise, you ask the people who've been here, Howard, from the beginning. But if for some reason, They let something in their darkest hour keep them from trusting in God, trusting in the one who keeps you. Isn't it amazing? We won't trust him, but he's the one. I want you right now to decide to breathe. Are you deciding to breathe? Or do you just breathe? By him were all things created, and by him all things consist. You're here tonight by the largesse, the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. In his darkest hour, he learned to trust. I want you to know, I understand. I have those doubts. I put my socks and shoes on the same way you do. But I've had to learn. And what we need to learn is that we need to trust him. He won't keep you from the darkest hour many times. He will bring you through the darkest hour. Things we need to learn from the darkest hour of Jesus. Next week, we'll continue with two more things at least that we can learn from that. But if you get nothing else tonight, you need to pray for those who cause your darkest hour. And you need to trust in the one who has an eternal plan for you. You may not know what it is, but you can trust in the fact that you have a Father in heaven and a Savior at his right hand that knows every breath that you take, every thought that you think, and every step you make, and everything that you reach to. And he still loves you. All God's people said, good night and God bless.